Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. I had an interesting thought that I wanted to kind of cover with you this morning on the Bible. And actually, a couple of things that we'll look at this morning, not only in Sunday school, but also in our morning preaching service concerning the Bible. We are praying this week for pastor school. Tomorrow, Randy, Tony and I, Maureen and Ann are going to be able to fly to Idaho, and we're going to go to pastor school. That's where we do our continuing education, if you will. We get some good preaching and some real practical ideas during the morning sessions. There's usually three or four of those each of the three mornings, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Lord willing, be back on Friday. And so we're looking forward to that. And Wednesday night, Jeremy's going to lead the singing, Lord willing, and Bobby's going to do the preaching. And so we're excited about that as well. Look forward to that. I also will announce to you later, but just start to get your mind thinking about it. In October the 18th, which is a Sunday through the 21st, we're going to have a Bible conference, which we've done from time to time. We're going to have David Peacock, who is a pastor at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Jacksonville, and we're going to have Pastor Rick DeMichael, who's hosting the pastor school at Treasure Valley Baptist Church. Both of them will be our guest preachers, and you want to mark your calendar for that. You don't want to miss out on that. I often said when I was younger as a Christian that I wish that I had gone to listen to some of the guys who are now dead when I was younger and could have heard them. And I didn't, or back in those times, I didn't even know who they were. And so we're giving a great opportunity for you to hear some of the guys that the Lord has really used in the work of the ministry. And I know they'll be good for us and good for you as well. So we're going to pray for that pastor school this week and pray for the lesson this morning. Doyle, if you'll open us up with prayer, we'll begin. Amen. 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 You know, when you the topic today is what to do with your Bible. What to do with your Bible. And you might think from the topic that this is so basic I ought to be teaching this in junior church. But the truth of the matter is, after we go through this, hopefully you'll see that it is so basic, it's something that we cannot do without. I remember years ago when we were in Austria, 1992, I think it was, we went skiing, never been snow skiing before, and the pastor said, don't worry about it, it's easy, we'll show you how to do it, and he tried to kill us. So, but we had skied for 3 days, and actually the third day, on busted limbs, we found a way to kind of get through that snow, and when we got to New Mexico several years later, we went into the very, very basic training class they had, the new beginners never done it before class. And I did a maneuver and that he told us to do, and the instructor said as I went by him in a low whisper, you've skied before. And I think what he was saying is that some of these folks are going to see that and think that's what they ought to be doing, and they can't do that yet, and you're, by being in this class, you're actually messing it up. That's what he was implying. And I looked at him, I said, you know, you're right, and the guy that showed me tried to kill me. You've already taught me five basic things he didn't show me up to this point that will help me, that I needed. And he looked at me and smiled. He said, well, stay in the class then. So stay in the class, okay? Hopefully you're going to hear something that's very basic that you have taken for granted that might be a reminder of what you and I need to do. So if you just pick up a Bible, first time, never read it before, and you opened it up to the first page in the first chapter, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and you started reading, in chronological order, you are going to begin to see what you need to do with your Bible. All right? And the first thing you'd want to do before you ever read the first word or the first verse on the first page in the first chapter of the first book of the Bible is you'd want to believe it. You'd want to believe the Bible. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that's quite a rub today because there are a lot of people that don't believe that. I mean, there are many, many, many more people who don't believe that than do. And we're Bible believers. That's the name of your church. Bible Believers Baptist Church. Skeptics don't believe the Bible. And when they come to the Bible to read it, they don't come to the Bible to learn from it and to believe it. They come to it looking for reasons not to believe it. And this week on Friday on radio broadcast, I did something called The Supposed Contradictions in the Bible. That was the lesson. And there's a website, Skeptics Annotated Bible, something like that. And they've got 1,001 things they found wrong with the Bible. Well, when you go through and look what they found wrong as Bible believers, you can easily reconcile everything, or some of the things a little bit more difficult to reconcile, but you can reconcile everything in there simply. And the reason that they keep looking at those as errors is that they don't believe the Bible. And they don't want to believe the Bible. If you're going to read it, you at least want to start out by believing it, because the devil's objective is to get you to not believe it. The devil's objective is to get you to doubt it. That's what he did to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, when he got her to question the words of God. He said, "Yea, hath God said," and put some doubt in her mind. That's what skeptics want to do. That's what the devil wants to do. I say to you, believe it even if you don't understand it. There are a lot of things that I've read in the Bible that I didn't understand the first time through, the 10th time through, the 20th time through, but I understand them now. But never once did I go through them not believing them. I just didn't know what to do with them, and the Lord wasn't ready for me to know. The neat thing about the Bible is that the profound truths in the Bible are plain. We're going to stay in Genesis, but just flip over real quick to Proverbs chapter 8. Notice what wisdom says in Proverbs chapter 8. This is a remarkable verse of scripture, two verses of scripture in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, wisdom says this: All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse in them. Nothing wrong with them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Now look who he's addressing, or look who she's addressing. Verse 5, O you simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. He's saying that the words of wisdom are so plain and so understandable and so right that the simple and the foolish can get them. And that's very important to understand, because we think we got to be smarter. Some people say, I'm not smart enough to understand the English and the King James Bible. That's not what it takes. It takes somebody who is willing to be taught by the Scripture. So believe it. And even though you may be simple, you can get it. Turn with me also to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and look at verse 13. Everything about the Bible hinges on you believing what you're reading. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. They were a very young and simple congregation. And in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 13, here's what Paul said to them. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. Watch it. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That's what unlocks it, is believing what you're reading. And then you'll get what you need. All right, so the first thing to do then with the Bible is to believe it, and as you believe it, your faith will grow and your faith will abound. Your faith will increase from the Word of God. Second thing you need to do, in other words, if you believe it, as you believe it, you just become more strengthened in your belief. Second thing, back to Genesis chapter 1. You open the Bible for the first time, never read it before, start out and you say, okay, I'm going to believe what I'm reading. Second thing, you got to read the Bible. First thing to do with your Bible is to believe it, and the second thing to do with your Bible is to read the Bible. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and it keeps on going from there. Did you know that the Bible was written to be read? The Bible says in Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Do you know something? It will not do you any good to profess that you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God if you're not even reading what you profess to believe. And I believe, I really believe this, of the people who profess Christ, there are more of them that don't read the Bible than do read the Bible. And you have to read it. We say, well, you don't know what my schedule is like. I don't really have time to do that. I got a busy schedule. I got a lot of things to do. When you stand before God after this life is over, I want you to explain to Him how you were too busy to read the Bible when He wrote it for you to read. So you need to read it. And truly, He says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read as much as is possible. And I realize you're going to have those days with hiccups. You need to read it every day. You really do. When you read it, listen, when you read the Bible through the first time, there's going to be a lot of stuff in this Bible you're not going to get. And people that read the Bible the first time and don't get some of that stuff get frustrated. But look in 1 Peter chapter 1. Actually, look in 1 Peter chapter 2. And look at verse 2. The Bible to somebody who is young in Christ is nothing more than than milk. It's nothing more than milk. It's just basic childhood nourishment. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Listen, the Bible cannot be anything more to you than milk when you first begin to read it, because it's so new to you and you are so new to Christ. You have to understand something, that when we read the Bible, I'm going to take you to Isaiah chapter 28 and show you a passage in Isaiah chapter 28. That's actually written in a negative sense, but the principle of the verse is so true. Isaiah chapter 28, look at verses 9 and 10. When you, can you speak today pretty well? Some of you I know can. I've talked to you. Some of you, you're still working on it. You speak well. You've got a vocabulary. You know how to frame your sentences. All right? There was a day when you couldn't do anything but grunt and cry. And giggle. And then one day they put you in kindergarten or pre-K and you began to learn A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And then C spot run. You know what? I have vivid memories of that book I have vivid memories of C spot run. Alright? I do a little bit more than that today. But I could not get where I am today if I hadn't started with A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, and then the biggest letter in the alphabet, L, M, N, O, P. Isaiah chapter 28, look at verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. That's how you start. You start with that. So when you read, you have to understand that this is nothing more to you than milk is to a baby. But that's how you grow. Young Christians who dive right into the book of Revelation... looking for deep, dark secrets and trying to determine whether or not those horses with women's hair and lions' faces and men's faces and lions' teeth are helicopters or whether they are mutated beasts out of a bottomless pit get all messed up. And they start looking for the fulfillment of prophetic prophecies and references to the Antichrist before they've ever read through their Bible several times. You don't grow like that. You know what happens? You become a deformed Christian. A great big head full of knowledge and no legs. So all you can do is flop around and talk about all these strange and weird things you've found in your Bible. And listen, there are a lot of people like that among Bible believers. Don't do that. Read the Bible. Believe the Bible, read the Bible. Here's the next thing from Genesis chapter 1. Meditate upon the Bible. Meditate upon the Bible. So you start out here, you're reading, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. You're not sure what that is, but you can handle it. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, so you know water's there. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light. It was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. So you see all that, and you realize that you get over here to verse 14, that there wasn't any sun and there wasn't any moon when that happened. So you got to think about that. You gotta process what you're reading and meditate upon it. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. There's some light here dividing day from night, but it's not sunlight. Then you also start here in verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. All right, I got that then. The water under that firmament is seas, but then there's water above that firmament. And if I meditate on that, I can figure out that that firmament is outer space and that the universe in which we live is enclosed or encased in water that separates us from what Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 calls the third heaven where God is. But I wouldn't have gotten that if I'd have just been just reading for reading's sake. You got to think about what you're reading and realize a few things. Sun wasn't there, that there was light. God is light. See, that's going to register with me, and that this firmament that's there actually has water on the top side of it, and that helps me, because if I knew anything about the law of thermodynamics, I would know that there's entropy in a closed system. That is, you get old and die and things run down. That's entropy. And the system has to be closed for that to work, and it is closed. So you have to think about that. Meditate upon the Bible. Pay attention to what you're reading. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, which we'll see in a minute, he tells Joshua to meditate upon the word. In Psalm chapter 1 verse 2, the man meditates upon the law of God. You see, the Bible, listen, is more than just personal devotional material. There are a lot of people who do their daily Bible reading in a devotional book, and they read one verse and comments that a man made about that verse, and that's their Bible reading, because they're looking for personal devotional material to help them. Like a cup of coffee wakes you up physically, the devotional material kind of wakes you up spiritually. And that's how they read the Bible. But that's not Bible reading. Bible reading is more than personal devotional material. It is something that causes you to begin to lock on to the things that you're reading. Listen, if you read the Bible, and while you're reading, you're thinking about what is on your mind rather than what's in your Bible when you're reading it, the Bible's going to do you very little good. Did you hear what I said? There are so many of us that come here and our minds are pressured about things. Problems, failures, regrets, joys, schedules, tasks, stress, husbands, wives, children, dogs, whatever. You start reading that Bible and nothing's going through. It's not getting into your mind because you're overwhelmed by the things that you're thinking about. You have to be able to digest this, and so you've got to have like if your esophagus was blocked, food wouldn't get down to your stomach to be digested to do you any good. You just pitch it right back out again. And likewise, if your mind is cluttered and you can't meditate upon what you're reading and think about it, it's not going to do you any good. And you'll give it up. So you don't need to get quiet. Sunday school is teaching you. Believe the Bible. Read the Bible. Meditate upon the Bible. What's the next thing you need to do? Study the Bible. Study the Bible. You keep on reading down through here. And of course, you know, I'm just picking a few things out that would cause you some interest. But look at verse 26, 27, and 28 of chapter 1 in Genesis. You read down there, it said, God said, let us make man in our image. And you're like, wait a minute. All I've been reading about up to this point is God, 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 God. And now all of a sudden, our image? after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over the creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and so forth. He said, in our image and after our likeness. And suddenly you see that God has referred to himself as a plurality, as us in our image. And you keep on reading, and you get down to chapter 2 and verse 7, and you see that God, in chapter 2, verse 7, formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Well, you read all that, and you're kind of like, now, what have I got going on here? And so you start studying your Bible. Reading the Bible helps you become familiar with what it says. And so the more you read it, the more you can remember cross-references. When I'm studying and I'm thinking about cross-references, a lot of times I remember a portion of a verse that I've read. Sometimes I remember the context in which I read it so I can go find the cross-reference. Other times I can use that phrase to go to the concordance to locate where it was. And those two things help me to understand and what I'm reading. So reading helps you to become familiar with the Bible so that you can learn it. And then you can go in and actually study it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Very important verse of scripture that is almost in every single case in modern Bibles changed. The word study in 2 Timothy 2:15 appears only in your King James Bible and maybe a couple of other modern translations. I can't remember which ones they are. It's been too long since I've looked at them. All the rest of them have changed it. It's a command from the Lord, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. It doesn't make any difference whether anybody else appreciates what you've learned. God needs to approve it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman, you can't do this without work. That needeth not to be ashamed. There'll be a pop quiz. Rightly dividing the word of truth, indicating that there are some things that line up in one place in the Bible that don't line up doctrinally the same way in another place in the Bible. And the best way to see those divisions is by the covenants that God made. So when you come across something in the Bible you don't understand, mark it down and study it out. In other words, it'd be good if you came across that and go, our image? What is that? Just write that down. What is that? And then you keep on reading. And after a while, you see other evidences where God manifests himself in three persons. And then you get to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, all the way nearly at the end of your Bible, and you read, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And you say, you know what? I'm beginning to understand this. God is one God, but he manifests himself in three persons. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And when he made man in our image, he made us a tripart being to match him. Him. I didn't mean to say him. Him. Somebody else that preaches here says him sometimes. In sin. John Epler was the worst of that. Sin. Talk about sin, it'd be like S-E-E-U-N. Certain parts of the country, there's no word in the vocabulary that has less than two syllables. You'll see that he made us a tripart being to match his image. God formed man of the dust of the earth. That's his body. And it matches the Lord Jesus Christ. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's his spirit. Matches the Holy Ghost. And man became a living soul. And that matches God the Father. And he made man in our image. So you look at that. You've got to study the Bible to see that. Do you realize what you just heard? There are seminary graduates that don't realize the truth of body, soul, and spirit when you study through the scripture and all of its implications. They don't know that. They don't understand it. They've never seen it before. And the reason is they studied what some professor was showing them. They weren't studying the Bible. So believe the Bible, read the Bible, meditate upon the Bible, study the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, here's the next thing you'd see. As you're going through the Bible in chronological order, you'd have to obey the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, obey the Bible. The Bible says, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Did you know the Bible is to be obeyed? Invariably, when we deal with people that are having problems and they need counsel, they are living in disobedience to the Word of God. That's the problem. And now the trouble is to sort out through all the chaos that they're trying to communicate where that root is of disobedience. And once you can find that, then you can begin to help them solve the problem. In Exodus chapter 24, Moses read the law of God to the Jews in Exodus chapter 24. And when they heard the words, they said something about what they were going to do regarding those words. Exodus chapter 24, verse 7. Exodus 24, 7. "He took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient." Now, they hung themselves with that because they did about everything they could not to keep the words. The truth of the matter is, but you know what? God gave Adam a very simple commandment. Eat all those trees freely. Just don't eat that one. If you eat that one, you're going to die. Surely die. One simple commandment. And he didn't keep it. Because of a very subtle and clever devil working through a serpent, he got after Eve. And Eve got to her husband. And he, the Bible says in Genesis 3:6, he did eat. All right? And as a result of that, they died. As a result of that, man has fallen. As a result of that, you're going to die. As a result of that, the ground is cursed. As a result of that, women have to do things they don't like to do and don't want to do. And men have to do things they don't like to do and don't want to do. And all that came as a result of that disobedience. Listen, when you live your life in disobedience to the words of God, listen, there is a price to be paid. Proverbs 13:13. Proverbs 13:13. You, the Bible says, will be destroyed. You say, in what capacity? Well, we'll talk about it. Just look first of all here at Proverbs 13:13. You cannot live in disobedience to the words of God and prosper. You can't. It's impossible. Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. To despise the word is to do despite unto the word, to do contrary to the word of God, to not even like it. He that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. You say, well, I've been living in disobedience to the word of God and I haven't been destroyed. You hadn't seen the fruit of the seeds you've planted yet. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, the Bible says. You see, that thing may travel all the way with you to the judgment seat of Christ and you may not find the destruction till you get there, and the things you hope to gain as a reward burn up in front of your face and you suffer loss. People are funny. We are, and we learn this from childhood. We're thinking, okay, I've done something bad. We look up waiting for the lightning to strike. It doesn't strike, and think, man, next time I do something bad like that, at least I don't have to worry about trouble. Because nothing happened the last time I did it. And then years down the road, the crop finally comes in and you're like, oh man, now what? I'm praying for a crop failure. Because I've got the seeds and now they flourish. And you know, you put one kernel of corn in the ground and another one so they can cross germinate. And you end up with 2 ears of corn on both stalks. And there's over, I don't know, I didn't count them, over 200 kernels of corn on each one. You planted two and got 400 or 500 back. And that's the way it is with this stuff. You live in disobedience to the Word of God, and it comes back to bite you harder than the disobedience that you started out with. You cannot disobey the Bible and prosper in the end. But by contrast, when you obey the Bible, the Lord prospers your way and gives you success. Look in Joshua chapter 1, this passage that I referred to earlier. It talks about meditating on the words of God. Look at this Joshua chapter 1. Look at verses 7 and 8. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. You can disobey it and be destroyed, or you can believe it and follow it and obey it and prosper and have good success. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Joshua is getting instruction about getting ready to lead the Jews into the promised land, and the Bible says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now, what does he tell you to do? He tells you to meditate upon it. He tells you to not turn from the left hand to the left hand or to the right hand in it. He said if you want to make your way prosperous and have good success, then you have to do according to all that is written therein. So the Bible is written to be obeyed. You know why people don't read the Bible? Because the Bible wants them to obey something that they don't want to do. So I figure if I don't read it, then I won't have to keep up with it. Bob Jones Sr. said it this way, "The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible." That's right. When we used to go over to the Jubilee, and we did it for 10 years at least, teaching the ladies over there every Thursday morning for 10 years, and some for a couple of years, the guys in the City of Refuge. Invariably, I would say to them, "You know what? Before you got in trouble that led to you being here, dust began to gather on your Bible. Is that true?" And to the man, to the woman, it was uniformly true. That's where the trouble started. And the trouble with the dust growing on the Bible started with the fact that they wouldn't obey it, just like it happened for Adam and Eve. They didn't obey it. And so you got to believe it. And we could all stand up and profess, "I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God." Praise the Lord. But if you're not reading it, it's not going to do you any good. And meditate upon it, because you got to think about what you're reading. Study it. Listen, we're training guys there in the men's Bible study. And the way we started this time, we're teaching them how to teach, how to study and how to teach. We're not teaching them how to regurgitate what we're teaching them. We're teaching them how to study it out and learn it for themselves and teach it. Why? Because the teacher is the best student in the classroom. Any of you that have ever taught, you know more about the material than the students you're teaching, because you had to learn it for yourself. And so in the Bible, if you want to be a good student of the Bible, you have to study it, and then when you find out what it says, you got to obey it. But that's not all. You keep on reading down here in Genesis chapter 4. Get down here in Genesis chapter 4. You keep on reading, and of course I'm skipping over this and that, but Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, "Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." Your choice. "And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." Whoa, wait a minute. What do you need to do? You need to live that Bible. You need to live the Bible. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." This is different than simply obeying the Bible. This is allowing the Bible to start working in you, where you're living it out, what it says. In other words, God didn't give Abel a commandment, "Hey, you offer me a sacrifice of your flock." But Abel knew, based upon what happened in Genesis chapter 3, when God shed the blood of innocent lambs to make coats of skin to cover the nakedness of his parents, he knew if he was ever going to offer anything to God, it would have to be a flock, of the flock. And so he did that. And God respected his offering. He was living the Bible. Cain, on the other hand, offered the fruit of the ground, which was cursed, and he wasn't living. In other words, he should have known as soon as his offering was rejected, the reason is I offered it from my works and from the cursed ground. God's not going to accept that. But he didn't do that. He's not living the Bible. Listen, The Bible should establish your life. It should guide your life. It should strengthen your life. It should change your life. Too many people today are living by what they hear on the news. They're living by speculation. They're living by the suggestions of others. And they're not living by the Bible. And so they're having difficulty these days. The Bible, listen, or they may be living by their own thoughts and their own opinions. And so consequently, the Bible doesn't direct their lives. They're not experiencing the peace of God. They're not strengthened by the faith of God. Their lives are as erratic as lost people's lives are. And there are a lot of Christians that way. Their emotions are guiding them. They get scared and they're following those fears more than they are settling down in the words of God. And then they wonder why things in their lives don't work out right, why things in their lives are a little chaotic. Well, when you're living what the Word of God says and following it as a guide in your life, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, you don't have to worry about the chaos that's going on around you. David in one place said, though 10,000 fall at my side, something like, yet I will trust the Lord. You're going to see, and listen, if the Lord's not scheduled to return for a while, you're going to see a lot more dead people by ISIS and a lot more cowardice on the part of our government, a lot more chaos in our economy. What are you going to do? You can't react to all those changes. You've got to live the Bible. Live the Bible. And then what do you do? Well, Genesis chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years, begat Methuselah. Methuselah means after he is dead, it shall be sent. Enoch knew, uh-oh, something bad's coming. 900 years from now. I better straighten up. Can you imagine that? I mean, Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. He was 65 years old when Methuselah was born, and everybody up to that point had been living about 900 years. And he says, when he is dead, it shall be sent. And Enoch says, I better straighten up. 900 years ahead of time. I like that. I really like that. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 360 and 5 years. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And then in 28, Lamech lived 180 and 2 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. And the Bible shows us that Noah also walked with God in Genesis 6:9. So these two guys walked with God. One of them is going to comfort us concerning our work and toil. The other one knew something bad was coming when his son died. You know what both of those guys did? The thing we should do. Preach the Word. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:5, we won't take the time to turn there since we're getting close. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says about Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness. God told him to build a boat. But you know what he did? He was a preacher of righteousness. And he condemned the world that was destroyed by the flood before it was destroyed by letting them know the difference between righteousness, which God had given him or which he had, and their wickedness. Enoch also preached. And after walking with God, he said, in Jude, I want to read this to you real quick. In Jude 14 and 15, he just blasted them. You know what? Both of these guys lived in generations just like ours. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, this is Jude 14, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. He's preaching the second advent of Jesus Christ. To execute judgment upon all you bad boys. I just had to add that. That's in welder italics. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Preached. And that's what we need to do. Listen, the people you talk to need to know the truth of these words, and they don't, because there's no, they don't, listen, if they watch television, there's very few preachers who are preaching the truth. If they listen to the radio, there's very few preachers who are preaching the truth. If they pick up a modern Bible, most of the preachers that are preaching that are all about ushy-gushy, make me money, make you feel good in the process. And they're not going to learn what the Bible says about these things and about Jesus Christ. It's up to you and me to be like Noah, to be like Enoch, and tell them. And I'll guarantee you, most of them aren't going to want to hear what you have to say. I don't know that Noah had any converts. It doesn't look like Enoch had any converts. But, buddy, they please God. And they preach the word. And you know something? Every once in a while, somebody's going to hear that message, and you're going to turn them on their head, and they're going to turn around and repent and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's what Enoch did. It's what Noah did. It's what we need to do. And then one other thing you're going to notice, Genesis 6:5 and Genesis 8:21. Before the flood, Genesis 6:5, God looked down and he saw things in the earth and he said, this is bad. Genesis 6:5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that, watch it, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In other words, he wasn't even complaining about their actions at this point. He was just upset with the imagination of the thoughts of his heart. They were always evil continually, or only evil continually. All right, so he floods the whole place out. Noah and his wife get out. The three boys and their wives get out, and all these animals get out. And God looks down after Noah makes an offering Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. Genesis 8:21, floods over. All those bad, wicked people are killed. All cleaned up now. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor because there's an offering being made to him. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Watch it. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nothing changed. Just by leaving that good man Noah and his three boys and their four wives together, same problems that he destroyed with the flood are the same problems that came out of the boat. So what are you going to do about that? Last thing you ought to do with your Bible is memorize it. Memorize the Bible. Memorize it. The thoughts and imagination of man's heart are evil. Did you know that about yourself? Yeah, I did. I knew that about you. I knew that about me. The Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, some of that stuff we thought about when we were teenagers, we actually did. And now we're thinking about it because we regret what we did. It's amazing how that stuff just beats your mind up, isn't it? You know what? You know the solution? Memorize the Scripture. Memorize the Bible. Why? Because it'll change your thoughts. Memorize the Bible will change your thoughts, and that'll change the thoughts that follow your thought, change your sin that follows your thoughts. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, it's a defense to sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Philippians 4:8 says, therefore, my brethren, whatsoever things, think on these things. He says, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things, well, actually he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So look at every thought you have in your head at any moment during the day, and if it's not one of those six things, pitch it. And get the Scripture in there so that your mind can get straightened up. You know what happens when you memorize the Scripture? It gets in your heart, it gets in your mind, and it talks to you while you're along the way. It tells you, while you're going, don't go there. And it reminds you of a verse. Or it says, yeah, do that. And it reminds you of a verse. And it guides you. And it gets your, it really does. It really cleanses your heart and your mind. Now, if you'll do these things, if you just do these things that you would see if you were paying attention while you were reading through the beginning of the Bible, which most Christians won't do, then you're going to find God true to His words, and you're going to find that your life is changing in ways, really, that you never dreamed possible. All the solutions to all of life's problems are in this book. So believe it, read it, meditate upon it, study it, obey it, live it, preach it, and memorize it. That's what you ought to do with your Bible. If you find that there's something in this list you're not doing, start this afternoon. Change your life. Amen? Father, thank you today for a very simple and yet very profound and necessary lesson. We ask you, Lord, to help us to be faithful, to do the word and not hear it only for Jesus' sake. Amen.